welcome to Hour 2 of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this hour is Steam Power.
He left me no opportunity.
Nope. I'm just going to jump right into it.
Didn't even take a breath.
Steam Power is our local John Deere Kubota tractor dealer. They're located in Shasta Lake City at 3119 Twin View Boulevard, just south of Phil's Propeller. And you can get a great deal on a Kubota or John Deere tractor there. They got a full service department, full parts department, and sales, and just swing in there and get a great deal on a tractor. Their phone number is 226-9226, or you can reach them on the web at readingtractors.com.
Ta-da!
Ta-da! There you go.
There you go. And you can find everything about our program. Archives going back, I don't know, 8, 9 years, something like that. Goes way back. Lots of shows, lots of topics, I'll tell you that. They're all commercial free, and they're free for you to listen to as well, since I know a lot of shows charge for that. We do not. You can find that at wethepeopleradio.us. And switch back over here to, I just wanted to let you guys know, you know, some topics hit people different ways, you know. Some are things people already knew about. They were looking to know more. Some hit them out of the blue, never heard of any of this. And I would venture to guess that this topic on South Africa is something that the only other show I can think of that we did like this was a series of shows on Libya with some people who were there when Libya was bombed and what Libya was really bombed them. And this is kind of that same sort of thing. It's like a peek behind the curtain of a group of people who really have no voice and are not able to get any type of support. But we did have a listener send us a letter, and it's kind of long. I won't read the whole thing, but it's interesting. The one part on the back caught my eye right away. It's underlined, "Where in the world did you discover this man, Dr. Harry? What a treasure of true history." And That's about the summation of it.
Yeah.
So Dr. Harry Bouyans is an internationally recognized, multiple award-winning PhD defense and aerospace physicist. He's originally from South Africa with a 360-year bloodline in that country. He currently lives in Vancouver, Canada. And the rest of his bio is there online, and I will not go through that again. But he's a scientist, so he goes through this in with a lot of factual detail, which is very much appreciated, instead of just drama. There's plenty of drama to go around, though. So we've listed all his different articles. His blog is very instructive. He has a great deal of information online. And if you want to hear him in person, your opportunity is coming. Spokane, Washington, June 21st through the 23rd, 2018. It's called the Red Pill Expo. And if you use the word Bouyans, B-O-O-Y-E-N-S, Dr. Harry, his last name, you get a 15% discount. You can actually go to that expo in Spokane. You can watch it online. There is an online registration. And so you have a live stream video, you have general audience, and you also have VIP attendance. So that's coming up, and it would be worth seeing. You've got a list of guests a mile long. Their website is redpillexpo.org, and we have them linked up on our site as well. So, without further ado, back to the story.
Well, Aaron, I would just like to thank that listener of yours for his very nice letter and ask permission to say that to my wife and my mother.
like they don't already know that, but
actually,
go ahead.
Actually, I'll scan a copy of it and email it to you, because it's a lady, and she says, my late husband's father was Dutch, but the family always insisted they were German.
Interesting.
Yeah, and she goes on about that. So anyway, I'll send you a copy of it. But
Harry talked earlier on our previous show about the connections between America and the Dutch. I mean, we go way, way, way back.
Sure.
And I thought I'd throw in a little known fact here that you mentioned New York City earlier and the Dutch in New York. Well, New York City's oldest public park was established by the Dutch in 1733, and they established it to play a lawn bowling, and today we refer to that as Bowling Green. So that's a little Dutch, a little history
Bill Nye the History Guy.
Yep, there you go.
Huh.
Bill Nye the History Guy.
Let me give you another little bit. Broadway in New York was originally Herengracht, which means basically Lord's Way, Herengracht. And the main street of Cape Town is still Herengracht.
Oh, no kidding.
Okay, so
we are inexorably linked.
So the point that I made repeatedly last time is, folks may not know it, but the Americans and South Africans are each other's closest cousins, both in terms of DNA and history and experience on the frontier. So,
and our farmers are being driven from their land.
I know that to real Americans, I can talk Bibles and guns, and I assure you, you can talk Bibles and guns to normal South Africans.
That's pretty cool.
That's good.
Now, when we parted ways before the last commercial, I was asking you to maybe just put the word Afrikaans, A-F-R-I-K-A-A-N-S, which is the language of Afrikaans, just put that into Google. And you should immediately get the Wikipedia article right at the top of the list. And if you care to do that, then just tell me that you got it. Then I want to show you something very interesting, and I'm hoping that your listeners can kind of see it in their mind's eye, or you could find a way of conveying what you're seeing to them, rather than me, because as a white South African, anything I do is suspect.
And we're looking at the Wikipedia link for that?
Yeah.
All right.
So I got it.
Who's looking?
When you got the page, scroll down until you get a little green colored diagram on the right.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It says, the geographical distribution of Afrikaans in South Africa, proportion of the population that speaks Afrikaans at home. You see that little map?
Yeah.
Right.
And it
now,
looks
isn't
like...
that instructive that that eastern border of that region would run along what I have to assure you for now is the 350-millimeter rainfall line? The line that separates to the east the long grass part of the country from the great dry place to the west?
Yeah, no kidding.
Okay. Now, folks need to understand in the United States that when they talk about African Americans, which I think is a really silly misnomer, to me, African Americans are just black Americans. And if people have a problem with the fact that black Americans are black, I would call them racist and tell them to go get themselves sorted out. I've met and dealt with many black Americans, and to me, they are Americans. I couldn't care less whether they're black or not. I play in a band, and the bass guitarist is a black American, okay?
Uh-huh.
So you got problems with my friends? Let me know. So the point is, if you look at that map, on what basis could you conceivably tell the people who dominate the west of the country that they are by some or other means the invaders?
Right, because Afrikaans is the language spoken by basically the Dutch settlers. And if you look at this map, it is dark, dark green on the left, the entire left-hand side of the country, so the west. And it's 80, that green equates to 80 to 100% of the population that speaks that. So that's not it is a native language for those people that came there over 300 years ago, but it's not it's not the black language of the people who were indigenous to that area.
And this is important, because now I want to tell you that the people who live to the east of that line, the eastern half of that picture, those are the indigenous black people of South Africa, and there's no denying that they are the majority in that part of the country. No denying. Okay? And they are black African South Africans. They have their own language. In fact, there are 11 different nations. I'm not going to bore you with the details of all of those, but they do include Nelson Mandela's Amakosa, who live on the southern end of that part of the map, and right next door to them, up along the coast, would be the Zulu that everybody has somehow heard of, and nobody can quite pin down. Okay? So the Amakosa and the AmaZulu, and their languages are isiXhosa and isiZulu. In the interior, further up in that map, live a whole collection of other nations of people, each with their language. So, unlike in America, the black people in South Africa are indigenous. They have their own culture, historically based on keeping cattle, historically based on collective land ownership. Let me phrase that again for you so you can hear it clearly. Based on collective land ownership.
Okay.
Now, what's happening in South Africa is that the government is basically appealing to that last phrase you just heard me use to say, no, they got to collectivize all the land of the country. So they're trying to Africanize everybody. I don't think you are going to find a black American who is going to agree with the idea that his land should be taken away and his house should be nationalized. I want to find any black American I've ever met and put him down in a chair and tell him, pal, how would you feel about it if your place were nationalized? Just kind of take your house and give it to the government so they can decide how to distribute it. Cool idea, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's all great as long as it isn't you.
And that's what the government is, what that's what they voted to do. And now they're falling about because they kind of caught the bus. And there's like a fox terrier who caught the bus, right? And now I got to figure out, oops, did we just approve that? How would we do that? And the a spokesperson, Jeremy Cronin, for the South African Communist Party, piped up the other day and said, well, the guy who put this vote up in Parliament, he maybe didn't think it through real carefully enough because it might mean that the property of black South Africans would be taken. And we don't intend to take black people's land. We only want to take white people's land. How do you like that?
Yeah. Well, as long as there's oversight there.
Yeah, as long as they're organized about it.
Little slip up in the logic.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Okay, so this is how, I don't know quite how to phrase this. Anything that is a small signal that you have to think about carefully in the United States is like screamed in your face in South Africa. So I keep telling folks that South Africa is Obama's United States on steroids.
On that happy note, we're going to take a really quick break because we got so caught up in the map, we blew right past the 15 minutes here. Yeah, let's pick that up on the other side of the break.
Well, the whole nationalizing private property is a slippery slope.
And that's where a lot of our stuff was headed until we had the great unraveling with the election of Donald Trump. We'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Harry Buyans. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
I can try, and as I roll along, I begin to find things aren't always just what they seem. I want to turn the whole thing upside down. I'll find the things they say just can't be found. I'll share this love I find.
Me and all my friends, we're all misunderstood. They say we stand for nothing and there's no way we ever could. Now we see everything that's going wrong with the world and those who lead it. Just feel like we don't have the means to rise above and beat it. So we keep waiting, waiting, waiting on the world to change. We keep on waiting.
And we're back. All right, let's go back to what would have been the former United States under Obama.
Yeah, I didn't want to dwell too much on that, but I guess the point I'm trying to convey is that there's no such thing as political correctness, really, in the end, in South Africa. People will state things, you know, straight in your face. So when a politician... there are parties that are further to the left than the ANC, and one of them is a thing called the Economic Freedom Fighters, and they dress all in red in Parliament. Their leader is a guy called Julius Malema. And if you look at that little language map that we were looking at earlier, he's from the very far northernmost part of the country. You can see that province up there in that thing. My comment to you is that white Afrikaans, Dutch-speaking South Africans were living and dying at the bottom end of that area, in other words, in what the black people would like to believe is theirs, were already living and dying there when the Western world didn't even yet know about Malema's people's existence because they were so far to the north. All right. Yet this is the guy who dances around on the stage yelling, kill the farmers, drive them out, kill the farmers.
Yeah.
Or kill the boer, as it said. The word in Dutch and Afrikaans for a farmer is boer. And as I explained to you last time, in the late 1600s, the Brits were referring to your ancestors in the north of New York State as also boer. Now, what's going on is that the government is using the surface area of the entire country and treating it as though they want to nationalize all of it, and that white people are invaders from elsewhere into all of that country. It is simply not true. And you can see it by the distribution of language. And I've given you the reason designed in heaven for why it is like that, and that is the black people could not exist further west. Their basic society could not function without cattle.
Right.
And, you know, it's not all that easy in southern Nevada to keep cattle.
No, it's hard. It's a lot of work.
Okay.
So tell me this. What's the, you know, we always look for logic, even though I realize it's not to be had in a lot of this. But if they drive these farmers out, I mean, people might be thinking it's so that they can run the farms.
Yeah, that was my question. What happens
to
the farms?
I'm guessing the farm just kind of goes to seed and not the good kind.
I wish it would go to seed because you'd at least have the seed.
I was going to say, not,
I know
not
what
the
you
good
mean
kind.
By the English expression.
Well, they don't have the money or the education or the I don't know, the technology
to
run a big farm. But yet they drive these people out that create a product and help feed the people. And then when they drive them out, they kind of have nothing. It's kind of like when we have these riots over here in our country, and they burn down their neighborhood. I don't understand that.
Maybe I could again appeal to, let me just see if this will work. If you wouldn't mind going to, can you access Google Maps?
Sure.
How about you go to Google Maps and put the following word in there? I'll wait for you to tell me you got Google Maps.
All right.
So when you're there, please type in L-E-S-O-T-H-O.
L-E-S-O-T-H-O.
T-H-O.
Okay.
You should see the independent kingdom of Lesotho. Never has been part of South Africa. Made a country by the British. Given independence by the British. Okay?
Right.
If you've got the map of Lesotho in front of you, please tell me.
Okay.
So to the listeners, I would say go to Google Maps and put in L-E-S-O-T-H-O. Now, in the bottom of your picture, you should see a little logo that says satellite. Click on satellite so you get a satellite image rather than a map. And tell me when you have that.
Okay.
Does that mean you got it?
It means it's loading. Here we go. All right.
Yep, got it.
Okay. Now, do you see to the southwest on that map, you see how straight the line is between light fawn and green to the left? Do you see that? It says names like Wepener and Mafeking and...
Yes.
That's the border.
Ah.
Now, why do you think the soil is barren to the east and not to the west?
Well, probably because of the mountain.
That's what you're looking at.
The mountain range?
Looking at what happens when you give land to subsistence type farmers in Africa.
Because that's that big strip that looks like it's a wasteland in the middle?
I'm not going to call it a wasteland. I'm just going to tell you that the land on the west is managed by white farmers, and the land on the east is managed by, I guess, what passes for black farmers. I'm not sure they would be called farmers in the true sense of the word.
Okay.
I want to be very clear about this.
Uh-huh.
This is not an indictment of black people or their culture. I'm simply stating a reality. When indigenous black folks in Africa talk about agriculture, they do not mean plowing hectares of land, putting fertilizer down there, getting some form of irrigation there, and putting some sort of seed there. Okay? Generally, they're talking smaller patches of land for reasons of subsisting as a family. Generally. This is a generalization. They are hostages of their own culture. They're not stupid. They're not bad. They're not evil. None of that stuff. Okay? It's just that none of their history has prepared them for large-scale agriculture the way Western man has developed it. And you're seeing the consequence, because what they haven't let go to ruin the what remains of grass will be eaten by the cattle, and what the cattle can't finish off, the sheep and goats will. Again, remember, the cattle will eat the longer grass, then you'll bring the sheep to eat the shorter stuff, and if there's bark left on a tree, a goat will find a way to eat it. And then it looks like this. And if you think that I'm indicting the Sotho people for this, you're wrong, because when you look in the towards the bottom, you'll see there's a place with the name Herschel and Sterkspruit and Mporky and Dilly Dilly and so forth. In the bottom of that diagram, where a piece of this white land stretches to the west, that's part of South Africa. The only difference is that was a black homeland. You give them the land, that's what happens.
Yeah, I always wondered about that, because I think anybody that knows anything about agriculture knows that it takes, you have to know what you're doing to plant large-scale agriculture. You have to have money to buy the equipment to harvest large-scale agriculture. And when you go in and you get rid of the base, you get rid of the people that have that education and that know-how, you can't just move people onto the land and expect them to
magically
turn that farm around. I mean, they don't know how.
Which is why the white farmers often band together and go and plow the land for the guys, okay?
Mm-hmm.
These much maligned, invading, marauding, nasty white people actually go and do this.
Rather than watch it all just go...
Than just watch it go to seed, as you say.
Right.
Okay, so we've got to take a really quick break again. Sorry, it seems like on shows like this, it always seems like we have twice as many breaks. We really don't. They're the same number. It just seems like they're creeping up on us a lot. I have put all of these things on our webpage, links to like the Google Maps and the language map that we were talking about earlier. So if you're not at your computer or you weren't able to find these links, if you go to wethepeopleradio.us, go to the show page for today, June 3rd, 2018, you will see, as discussed on today's show, and I've actually listed those for you, because I think it's really instructive to have that visual along with what we're being told. So we will be right back, and again, you can find that at wethepeopleradio.us.
it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
So there we are.
Hmm.
Take it away from one group of people and give it to the other group, and then, here, now you make it work. Doesn't really work that
well,
way.
Well, it's missing the main ingredient we were talking about during the break, you know, pride of ownership.
So here's the ironic thing, folks,
all right,
is that so the government tries to take this away by force now from white people without any compensation, just take the land. They want to give it to black folks who don't know how to manage it. Again, I repeat, they're not stupid or anything like that. They're not bad. They're not evil. They just don't know how. That's all. That's not a sin.
Right, right.
But the result is that people are not going to eat. Okay? Now, there's some numbers around the subject, and I don't have a simple way to get you to go to, like, an independent website, but the number that you'll find in various places is that 90% of these efforts to take farms from white commercial farming and give it to indigenous black subsistence farmers, and then thinking that overnight they're going to mystically figure out how to run this stuff, 90% of it fails. I think between two or three rational people on, you know, talking on this show, that doesn't seem too weird. You know, give a working business to somebody, you know, just out of the blue with no experience, it's going to fail.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, you can't even do that with something as cookie cutter as a McDonald's.
Yeah, there is just nothing deep about the point I'm making. I think a child could see that. You know, so and that is indeed what's happening. Around 90% of it fails. The largest citrus estate in the world in the 1950s was given to a black community by the old apartheid government. Was given to that black community in the 1970s. It basically ceased to operate. They managed to find a way, against all odds, to take the world's biggest citrus estate and, frankly, turn it to junk.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay? And this is what happens all over that continent. And even when you get a black farmer that potentially knows what he's doing, he's up against the realities that other farmers have been up against, like, you know, has he got the money for the seed?
Right.
Is there going to be enough rain this year? Has he, you know, let some land lie correctly fallow? You know, has he done all the right stuff or not? And then lastly, you know, how does he know where to sell? You know, he's got to find a market. He's got to do all of that stuff. He runs out of money, and everything goes to seed anyway, despite his best efforts. It's just a reality. Business is tough, and farming is business.
Yep, and even if you know what you're doing, it isn't a guarantee.
No, I think you could ask any farmer in this country, is it an easy business? It's not an easy business, and there's so much unknowns from year to year. Like you say, you might get bad weather, you might not. You might have water. You might not. You might get an infestation of some kind.
Right.
And you have to know how to deal with that stuff. And to get just hand it over to somebody who's got no experience with that, I think everybody would agree that it's doomed to fail.
Well, just out of curiosity, okay, so they kill people, or torture and kill people, I should say. Let's not leave that out. So you torture and kill the people who own the land, then does the government take it over? Is it that tidy?
This is the interesting bit. If you look at what's happening, the government takes the land from the white farmers, but there are millions and millions and millions of hectares that they have dispossessed in this way, and they have not given to black farmers. They're not telling anybody that.
Oh.
And so here's the interesting little bit. the government says the greatest problem in developing South Africa is that all this farming land is in the hands of white people. This is an evil at the hand of an invader, needs to be stopped, and these people need to be chased off their land. And we need to give this land to black people. Interesting fact is that there is more land in the hands of that government than in the hands of the white farmers.
Huh, who could have seen that coming?
How come that's not being given to these hard-pressed black people who are supposedly going to be magical businessmen overnight and reap crops like you've never seen before?
Hmm.
Yeah. So who's kidding whom?
Yeah, that is a mystery, isn't it?
No, well, yeah, well, the resolution to the mystery is very obvious when you realize that the ANC government was trained by the Soviet Union, that at its core is the Communist Party, which is, there's a considerable number of white guys in the middle of that Communist Party, and they're busy nationalizing the country. It's not that they really want to give it to black people, it's that they're nationalizing the land. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, just want to break the private property ownership. So,
yes.
So let's say, let's say that, because I know this is true here in our area, a lot of the people who are running the family farm are the grandparents, since, 70 appears to be the new 50 or something. Okay, so if those people are literally killed, and they have kids or grandkids who live there, do they just come after them next, or does the government take it, and where do they put the people that are left in the ownership, in the title chain?
Well, the total number of white individual farmers in South Africa is only around 35,000.
Oh.
Okay. Only around 35,000.
Sure.
It used to be 80,000. It's down to 35,000 for reasons that should be obvious by now.
Right.
It's not the only reason. There are also other, companies that own land and so forth. But people are not running around killing heads of companies in the cities. They're running around killing these individual farmers on their individual farms. It's like in the States. The son is going to inherit the state. He's going to try and make a success of it until his family is wiped out, or he flees to the city and tries to find a job, probably as a farmer. He knows a lot about mechanical stuff. He's going to end up working at a brake and muffler place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. So the picture that most people have, most white people in South Africa, are convinced that this is an effort to drive white people physically off the surface area of the land into the cities where they nicely herded together for the final kill.
And are they killing them in the city, too?
Oh, yeah. But it's not as easy to get away with it there as with an isolated farmer.
Sure.
And now we get to who's doing this, because I have a question. I said earlier I'm not prepared to accuse the ANC government directly of doing this, but when their members are on stage yelling, kill the farmer, kill the Boer, I would say they have some culpability in this. When the EFF leader dances on the stage and yells, kill the farmer, kill the Boer, I would hold him directly responsible. But how is it that there are now CC, closed-circuit television footage of people attacking farms, and on their backs they are carrying cell phone jammers? Have you ever heard of people perpetrating crimes using cell phone jammers in the United States?
No.
Well, I don't live in a high crime area, but I tell you what, if they were running around with them, I'd be thinking they might be slightly more organized just than your usual,
vandals. Last time I looked, you don't buy cell phone jammers at Radio Shack.
Yeah, no, probably not.
Okay.
Do we even have Radio Shack?
Folks can take a look at my blog, where there is a picture taken at a town called Sunny's Hof, which roughly translated means Susie's Place. It's a town with that name. And on a farm, just prior to an attack, they got these guys on CCTV running around with a four antenna cell phone jammer strapped to the back. that is organized at a completely different level.
Yeah. That's military.
I was going to say that's like paramilitary.
Yeah. And so people are up in arms about this, and the feeling, and the government can deny it till it goes purple in the face, folks on the farms are convinced that it is the government setting people up to do this, that the government is openly, you know, like you sick a dog, they are convinced the government is sicking these people on the farmers. They feel targeted, they're dying horribly, and they don't understand why the world refuses to comprehend what's going on. And then, as I say, when people in England deny that this is happening, and I suggest merely that they should perhaps go and spend a month on a South African farm, I get accused of bullying.
Well,
that's interesting. Well,
we just took a vote, and we think you should keep bullying, so we're all down for the bullying. We have to take
well,
a really...
if that's bullying by the U.S. definition, I would submit to you that...
well, everything
is... It's just kids. Daddy never slapped him when he needed it.
the bad part is that whole everybody gets a trophy thing. But yeah, everything is bullying right now. We've got to take one last quick break, and we'll go to the top of the hour with Dr. Harry Booyans. Our website is wethepeopleradio.us.
Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can. Doctor, my eyes. Tell me what.
And that will forever be your theme song. We're here with Dr. Harry Booyans, and after all the stuff we've seen today, yeah, I'll tell you what, a little hard on the eyes. We hope you'll go and utilize the links on the website today at wethepeopleradio.us. I hope you'll utilize that and access Dr. Harry's blog and all of the information. He's just a ton of information there. His book is fantastic. We didn't even mention it. We mentioned it last time. It is spelled, because if I say it, you're still not going to be able to find it. It is spelled AMABHULU. And Dr. Harry Booyans' last name is spelled BOOYENS. So even if you're not a web person, you should be able to snap that up at your local bookstore. Very much worth reading. Alrighty.
So
we have 10 whole minutes left, and
yeah.
It seems like we've covered nothing.
I could convey one last point.
Please
and then
do.
Maybe just summarize what the issues are.
Absolutely.
That makes sense. One, let's call it cute little point, that the South African government doesn't allow anybody to hear, is what about those old supposedly horrible homelands that people always talked about that these evil white people gave to these nice black people? On my website, on that link that I provided you, there are pictures of what it looks like in that area. Oddly, they were called desolate dumping grounds during the 1970s and 80s, and now they are tourist havens. Somebody's going to have to explain this sudden change in classification to me. More importantly, they're all in the high rainfall area of the country where God's waters fall from heaven, and you put pumpkin pips in the ground and they just grow without irrigation. So for some other reason, these places were considered desolate when black people were living there, and now you go there because you are a leading TV personality. so weird. But
yeah,
here's
pretty
the
fancy.
Point, the point about it. Can white farmers buy that land? And the answer is no. It's only for black people. Go figure.
So you can't I mean you can't negotiate a land deal?
No.
Wow.
So white people's land should be a debate for being taken or not, and black people's land is forbidden.
Wow.
Okay.
So they literally are squeezing them out,
no,
I mean.
Clear? Okay. So by the time, as I put it here, in the article that everybody can read, is why is no one in South Africa shouting, why are they all shouting, kill the whites, kill the farmer? Nobody is shouting, kill the blacks. And, you know, the issue is this, that in terms of the numbers, those attacking the farmers have at least 2.2 times more reason or justification in attacking the government and its supporters, because for every hectare owned by a white farmer in the contested eastern half of the country, the government controls 2.26 hectares, which they could give to those people who are screaming, kill the farmer, kill the whites. But they're not letting people know that they own the 2.26 times as much as the white guys. So they're playing with the numbers, and folks internationally are being played for a bunch of suckers.
And the people that are being killed on the farms, now normally if this was happening somewhere, they would be able to get like asylum in some other country. I mean, you obviously see on the news, you know, we're being flooded on our southern borders. People are crossing multiple countries to come here for asylum. I guess you're supposed to go to the closest country, but I guess that doesn't work.
Well, it's difficult to get on a boat and paddle all the way to North America from South Africa, isn't it?
Yeah, hard to explain that. But, you know, people are coming here from other places. But can they go to, I mean, will other countries give them asylum if they want to just take the shirt on their back and go start over?
This gets right back to the history. You see, when the Portuguese were driven from Africa, they sent aeroplanes to collect their people and they went back to their homeland, Portugal. When the Spaniards left Spanish Sahara, they went back to Spain. The Brits could pull their people back to Britain. The Germans removed their people from German East and West Africa, etc. But the Afrikaner does not belong anywhere else. He has no other place. Where would Americans go? Because it's the same question for the South African folks.
Sure.
Where would Americans go? You're going to go back to Eastern Europe, Poland? Where? What about all the people in the Northern Plains State? Many of them came from Scandinavia. Are they going to go back to Scandinavia?
Yeah.
What about the Scots in Tennessee? Are they going to go back to Scotland?
Right.
I need to understand, because there is no place that is offering a safe haven to Afrikaners who are being murdered like this. We have no right of return to anywhere on earth. There's nowhere to go. And if they flee westwards, they're eventually going to end up in the sea at Cape Town. And I grew up, there was nothing between me and the South Pole except the Russian Navy.
Hmm.
So they got nowhere to go. They threatened day and night. Nobody will give them the time of day, and everybody is hanging them in the media internationally for a history that is absolutely false. What must they do? I pray someone tell me. What must they do?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, you'd like to see a little light at the end of the tunnel for them, but
there is no
there
light
isn't
at
one.
The end of the tunnel. The only thing they do is they're in church every Sunday morning and they're praying, because it's all they can do.
Yeah, there's just no, I guess, world recognition at this point. I mean, nobody wants to admit that it's going on.
Would that even help? I mean, it can't hurt, obviously.
Well, when Peter Dutton in the Australian government, the guy in charge of their immigration, he took one look and he said he's going to fast-track moving of South African farmers to Australia. All hell broke loose. They attacked him personally, called him a racist. I don't know what else, you know. It's incredible. The hatred, you can cut the hatred with a knife. It comes packaged in blocks that you cut with a saw. Yeah, and it's very much like CNN and Trump. You know, it's just hatred. It's no substance.
Yeah.
Yeah, and therefore you can say whatever you want.
Yeah, you can say what you please. They want to look. Let me put it to you this way. It's summed up very nicely by a professor from Denmark that I shared an office with at IBM in 1980. He calibrated me, 79-80. He got angry with me one day, stood up, towered his full 6'4" over me, and said basically to me, you are a sick anachronism. You are a blot on the name of Europe. You should just die.
Wow.
That calibrated me. I have been left with that picture of that is what liberal Westerners want. They want me and mine dead. Nothing else will do.
That is stunning.
So it's not as though I have to speculate about it. I've been told that to my face.
Wow.
And that happened in an office in IBM, Yorktown Heights building, the same building where they recorded that competition of, I forget the show now for a moment, with Alex Trebek.
Oh, Jeopardy.
Jeopardy. They recorded this a session of Jeopardy.
Apparently the facts didn't actually get out of that room.
That's where I worked.
No kidding.
In that building, that's what I was told to my face.
Huh. So much for the sympathy, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. And were things
as... I've had great clarity in this matter all my life.
Were things as bad back then?
I never expected sympathy or understanding from the liberal end of the Northern Hemisphere wing. They want us dead. We are an embarrassment to them. Our mere existence is in the way of their plan. Just like we were in the way of the British imperialists way back in 1899, unfortunately, our guys just wanted to farm with their cattle and accidentally gold was discovered and Britain had to have it. Okay? We always seem to be in the way of someone's plan.
Wow.
That's how 57% of the people of my family name who went into the British concentration camps in 1901 died there. Because we're in the way. We're still in the way. Nobody gives us a home. Nobody gives us a future. Nobody wants to speak on our behalf. We are never represented anywhere. We never get to say what the truth is. We never get to tell what happens, and no one apparently wants to know. That's our problem.
And for the people who want the rest of that part of the story, we did that last week on May 27th, 2018, and I hope you will listen to that. It was the second hour.
So I would like to thank you guys for at least hearing this out.
Absolutely.
It's a difficult subject. It's complex, but it's so difficult to penetrate through 60, 70 years of completely slanted reporting about a group of people who've never been allowed to speak for themselves.
Well, we thank you for coming on, Harry, and I wish you the best. And the name of your book again?
Amabulu.
Amabulu.
Yep. You can find everything at wethepeopleradio.us. Dr. Harry Boone's information is on there, links to his blog and book and all sorts of things. You'll really like it. We'll see you again next week. Thanks very much.